We're going to read today from Romans chapter 13 and verses 11 to 14. We have a tradition at Victory that we stand for the public reading of God's word, so I'm going to just ask you to do that with me for me, and let's read his word together. Romans 13, 11. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality, sensuality, not in quarreling, jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. That's the word of God to his people. Amazing. Well, we're going to give it a shot. I'm going to try and use some graphics with you too tonight. So, am I going to see that on the monitor or I control it? Okay. So, let's see how that goes. Okay, that looks good. Well, something I was taught in church was never, ever look backwards to see what time it was. Right? Because you sort of get the pastor, the preacher, the liberty when you do that. You also make them really nervous. But in church tonight, I'm going to say, it's okay to look at your watch. Because I'm going to ask you a question. What time is it? So if you want to look around, look at the big clock in the back. Looks like it's about, I don't know, maybe 6:30 or so. You can look at your devices, that's okay. Just don't let them beep, okay? But you know what? Our lives are amazing, aren't they? We are centered around time. You have a calendar on your phone, perhaps. You've got alarm clocks in your bedroom or in your cars or iPhones or Androids or iPads or notebooks. And we are dominated, but aren't we, by time? What time is church? Well, I've got to be here by 6. And if you're like my wife, you come in right at 6. If you're like most other people, we come 5 minutes early because to be early is godly, right? And to be late is not. I don't know how you guys do it. But my question again to you is, what time is it? What time is it? Well, in doing so, I thought, you know, I look around and I found a website called the Death Clock. Have you heard of it before? It's really easy. You can go to it, deathclock.com, and you put in your BMI index. And well, if you don't know what that is, it's basically how fat you are. You put in your weight, your height, and then it gives you the bad news of, you know, how much fat you have on your body. But it also, based on statistical evidence, gives you an idea then of what time, or what would be your estimated time of death. And so, okay, so I'm going to try to do these graphics again, and you might have to just advance it for me, I think. Yeah, let's go to the next one. So on the death clock, I put in some famous people. Go ahead and advance it. Some of you know that guy on the left, his name is Tom Brady. How many of you are a fan? Good, because he's going to die pretty soon. 2050. You got to endure him for a little longer. And then Russell Wilson, of course, that's his date. And I estimated their height and weight and stuff like that. Okay, next slide. How about if you're entertainment? Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, he was a big strong guy, a Terminator and all that. And you also have Tom Hanks. There's their dates there. Tom Hanks is going to be a goner in a few years. Some of you might be more interested in politics. Go to the next slide. Donald Trump actually would outlive Hillary, so you're okay on that one if you're a Trump fan. And then, how about another entertainer, Oprah Winfrey and Taylor Swift? If you're a little younger, you get her. She's got a ways to go. So then I thought, well, okay, I'm going to do it for myself. Okay, and then, next slide is me and Janet. And it's like, whoa. You know, I'm like 2038 if I live. I mean, that's just a few years from now. And of course, Janet's going to live forever because she's beautiful. But it takes your breath away when you kind of start thinking about, wow, I'm not going to be here forever. What time is it? And I realize that those dates are just made on, you know, mathematical formulas. I've already had a heart attack, so it's like I feel like I'm on my second life anyway. Bible says in Psalm 90:12, it says, teach us the number of days that we may gain a heart of what? Wisdom. Okay? That's probably a slide too. There we go. A heart of wisdom. And so the idea of understanding our numbering and our times gives us a heart of wisdom. And Paul tells us in this text that by understanding the present time, that's today, we will have a heart of wisdom. Because what's the answer to the question he asked? He says, salvation is nearer now than it was just when I started preaching. And some of you are going, wow, that's great. I'm sure glad it's going to be over. But seriously, every minute we live, our salvation is nearer to us than it was when we first believed. So the big question we have to answer today from this text is, if we know what time it is, then what are we supposed to do about that? And that's where our text gives us three answers. And the first answer, next slide, is something we must know. Verse 11 and 12 says this. Know this. What does it say? Know this. Understand the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is near now than when we first believed. Now, you know, if you read the New Testament, you hear this illustration a lot, don't you? Waking from slumbering, or awaking from sleeping, or the blind being able to see. And that's an illustration of what happens when you become a Christian. You know what being saved by grace is, because you wake, suddenly your eyes are open to many of the things you never saw before. And the Bible uses this language like being blind, being in pitch darkness, and then being given this gift of sight, and it's like being blind for 20, 30 years, and then suddenly the lights come on. That's like getting up in the middle of the night and stumbling around until you find the light switch and realize you're in the wrong room or something like that. So what time is it? Well, you can look at your watch. It's now a couple minutes after I started. The time is we wake up. We sleep at night. We don't sleep during the day, unless you're a college student or a high school student. But normal people don't sleep during the day. Unless you work at night, I get that. But all of us understand that it means that we're asleep at night, we're working during the day. It doesn't feel right to sleep during the day. And if you've ever done shift work, you know that it takes some getting used to sleep during the day. Especially if you have a bunch of kids around. It doesn't feel natural, because day is for working and night is for sleeping. So why does Paul say that the long night is over and the day has come? Because salvation is coming. Now, you're saying, well, Pastor Jim, what do you mean? I'm already a Christian. I have been saved. I've experienced that in my life. But our true salvation doesn't actually happen until we are liberated from our bodies and we see Jesus face to face. And so Paul is saying, okay, read verse 11 again, and you'll see that it takes every time you read it, a passage of Scripture, we're still further along. And you might be saying, well, hey, I've heard that all my life, that Jesus is coming soon, and the same old thing today as it was 30 years ago, 10 years ago, he's still not come. But, and that may be true. But again, if you look at the Scripture, Christians have been saying that for 20 years, right? Next slide says, Matthew says, next one back. You'll hear wars, rumors of wars. You'll hear, but don't be afraid, don't be alarmed. Such things have to happen, and the end is still to come. Nation rises up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, earthquakes. This last couple of months, we could throw in floods, tornadoes, you name it, right? It's happening. And then the next slide, verse 33, says, when you see all these things, you know what? You know the end is near. And what was the end? The end is the end of us, or our salvation is when we see the Lord. Boy, when you watch the news, you see Scripture come alive in terms of these prophecies. Because we have wildfires, we have floods, earthquakes, destruction. There's no shortage of this. So when you see that, you ask yourself, what time is it? It's closer to the coming of Jesus Christ than it was a few minutes ago. And it keeps getting closer and closer. And Paul's saying in this text, I want you to remember that. I want you to understand that. This is important because it creates a sense of urgency. That's what we are as Christians. We urgently look forward to the day of His return, right? I don't know about you, Jan and I live in Emerson, so we go to the Emerson Market, and it's a nice little country store. And I don't know if the big city things in Linden have grocery stores, but when you get to the checkout stand, there's those magazines. They're like the crazy magazines, you know, like Aunt Bertha gave birth to an alien. Well, or stuff like that. Last year I was in the Emerson Market, and I saw this tablet, and I don't usually look at those things, but it had this big headline, Jesus Returns in Great Glory in 2018. Okay? And I'm thinking, some of you remember there was a big sign on the guy reading it in 2018 that Jesus was coming back. And he didn't come back on the date that they said, which was April 18th. So then they crossed out April 18th on the sign and they wrote in the new date, which was October of 2018. And he didn't come then either. But it predicted, and they were wrong. And I look at that and I go, I don't know what Bible they were reading, because the Bible I read, when you open God's Word, it says in Matthew 24 or 26 and all kinds of other places, that on that day, next slide, the verse there, there's a picture of the tabloid of the internet. Give me the next slide. About that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Therefore, verse 42, keep watch, because you do not know on what day the Lord will come. But understand this, you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect Him. So when you see those signs, it's like, man, do I feel like laughing? I mean, I feel sorry for them too, but, you know, it's like, wow, read your Bible. It does tell you that you can't estimate the date. So, check your watch. What time is it? It's now 25:07. Means that we're about 10 minutes closer to the return of Christ than when I started. So, Paul says, we need to be aware and know what time it is. And then he goes on to say something else. He says, there's something we have to put off. Put off. So that's, you're just ahead of me here. Something we put off, yeah. The night is nearly over, verse 12, he says. The day is almost here. So let's put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light, and let's behave decently, as in the daytime, not carousing, drunkenness, not in sexual immorality, debauchery, not in dissension, jealousy. So what Paul's saying here is, those of us that know what time it is will put off the deeds of darkness. And then he compares it to the armor of light, which is a reference to the spiritual armor that we get when we become Christians. And it's like taking off your pajamas in the morning and putting on fresh clothes before you go to work. And so the picture I had up there was my daughter's school class. They have pajama day at school. I mean, the kids are encouraged to wear their pajamas to school. And I thought, well, that's really kind of weird, because you don't really wear pajamas to school, generally speaking. It's kind of weird. And most of you don't wear your pajamas to work, or your business, or wherever you do your daily routine, because they're not appropriate for most people. Now, you know, our church is in a new way facility, and those girls, they wear the weirdest things. But we love them, and I know you do too. So, usually we pick some fashionable clothing, we pick something cool, or we pick out clothes that are appropriate to the kind of work we're going to do. Obviously, you're not going to wear a suit if you're a farmer, generally. You're not going to wear coveralls if you're going to be making a business presentation. That's the way we do it. When you confess your Christ, love your Father, that you're following Jesus Christ, it's like you wake up from a sleep. You take off your pajamas, you put on new clothes, you don't wear dirty clothes anymore. And that is a picture of the little guy, the next one there. We don't do that kind of thing, do we? Our text specifies six different deeds of darkness, and these are awful words. In fact, they're terrible words. They're things that we should put off. And so many times as Christians, we tend to focus on the nasty stuff, right? So there's the list of items. And the rouse in drinking alcohol and being noisy and stuff like that. The Bible says, no, that's not okay. Or drunkenness. Even normal people that are not Christians, they have disdain for drunkenness. It's not a pretty thing. Sexual immorality, it covers a lot of stuff. The Greek word for that is bed. King James, if you're into the older translation, means chamberlain. It means that we're just to put off all forms of sexual immorality. And that's all over our world right now. We live in a culture that is sexually, use sexual things to sell anything. And then, but debauchery, scholars say that's one of the ugliest words in the Greek language. It means out of control, outrageous sin that's done publicly and done in your face. Have you seen any of that around here lately? Yeah, I see a lot of it. Dissension, that's an unhealthy desire to have competition, be quarreling, because you know I'm always right. And the jealousy, envy, anger, when you see the success of others and you want that for yourself. The time is now to change our clothes, the scripture says. We put aside these obvious deeds of darkness, but we also want to put on something else. And that's what verse 14 says. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. I don't know about you. Some of us have watched the show What Not to Wear. It's on one of the TV channels. And it features these two superstars, whatever they are. And they take people that look terrible in the way they dress, and they dress them up in the cool, fashionable clothes. And they usually, some poor girl goes in, and they take her closet, and they throw out all this stuff, and she's crying, and, you know, I can only watch about that much of it before I go, like, man, I gotta find some football or something else. But that's what they do. And when you got up this morning as a Christian, when you get up every morning, do you ever think, what would a well-dressed Christian wear today? Would I wear flannel, silk, or would I wear some kind of color that makes me look like a Christian? Black, red, green. Do Christians look good in, you know, plaid or stripes? Or, should I wear a particular type of Christian perfume? And I'm sure some of you put a lot of thought into what you wore at church this morning or tonight. And I didn't put a whole lot of thought into what I wear. But that's just who I am sometimes, right? But the question here, Paul says, is well-dressed Christians don't matter about what kind of clothes you wear on the outside. A well-dressed Christian wears the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, people, when they see your outward appearance, they see Jesus Christ. What should you wear at work tomorrow? After you put on your clothes, your uniform, or whatever else, put on Jesus Christ. That's what time it is. The answer to what you should wear at school is Jesus. The answer to what you should wear to the farmyard, or to the cement factory, or to the refinery is Jesus Christ. What should you wear to the graduation ceremonies? What should you wear while you're on vacation? What should you wear when you hang around the house? Jesus Christ. He's always appropriate for every occasion. Well, what do you mean, Jim? What do you mean by that? Well, the Bible says, put on Jesus Christ. Put on his holiness. Put on his beauty. Put on his humility. Oh, boy, that's an argument. Put on his purity. Put on his compassion. Put on his wisdom, put on his forgiveness, put on his righteousness, put on his patience, put on his love. Because when we clothe ourselves in the fruits of the Spirit with Jesus, the first thing in the morning, and we keep Jesus on us until the last thing at night, you will be a well-dressed Christian. And you will know what time it is. Because the time of salvation is near now. Than it was when you started your day. But there's one thing else you need to know, and that's what's on the screen. Christ. Christ must be in you before he can be on you. In other words, you must live, you must confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you must live as if he is living in you before you can take him with you to work or to the office or to school. It's one thing to know Jesus in your head, but it's another thing to know Jesus in the power of the good news of the gospel. To know Jesus in obedience of your faith to what he calls you to do. And without faith in Christ alone, and without the power of the gospel, you live in your sin, the deeds of darkness, because you have no other choice but with Christ as Lord of your life, everything changes. Because he is the one, through the Holy Spirit, which we celebrate today, it's Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives you the power to put off the old garbage and put on the new garbage of life in Christ. Now I'm talking as if you have become a Christian, but as Christians, we all struggle with the things of the flesh, too. And we have to remind ourselves every day that we want the Holy Spirit to fill us, so that Holy Spirit gives us that power to live that new life in Christ. So, what time is it? My time says it's almost 4 to 7. It's time to wake up. It's later than it's ever been. The death clock is cooking for all of us. It's the dawning of a new day in God's kingdom, which is coming soon. It's a time to put off what not to wear and put on Jesus Christ. It's time to put off the deeds of darkness and put on his power. Put on the armor of God, the armor of light, Paul says. It's time to take Jesus everywhere we go. And we can have patience. You're a child of God because your Savior is coming. We can take hope in that. And even when we feel discouraged, we can take hope. And we can be encouraged, and we can keep believing, even if we're struggling, because we know this, verse 12. Understand the present time, the hour has come for us to wake up from our slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Isn't that an amazing truth? I hope you take that with you this week, and put on Jesus every morning, and then keep him on all through your day. Okay? Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are God of gods, Lord of lords, King of kings, and through the triune God, Jesus Christ, God the Father Almighty, and as we celebrate today, the third person of the triune God, the Holy Spirit, we have power and authority, and we have the ability to overcome the deeds of darkness in our lives, and the things that hold us back, and allow us then to pursue and press forward to the high calling God, which is set before us through the gospel, which has become real to each of us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask you, Lord, to help us live in that this week. In Jesus' name, amen.